time to check in with Dr. Eileen Marty, professor at Florida International University. Dr. Marty, good morning. I know you work with the World Health Organization, so I'm anxious to get your take on a couple of headlines in the news today. One, Shanghai starts to reopen as cases fall, and then another one, South Africa coping with fifth COVID wave. What do you make of all this?
And yeah, and you could keep going around the world and find all kinds of other alarming things, like what's going on in North Korea. But the situation in Shanghai is tenuous. China still wants to, you know, still adhering to its zero COVID policy, but they do need to reopen. They just want to be doing it a very safe way. In terms of South Africa, what we're seeing is they have, believe it or not, new set of subtypes for Omicron called BA.4 and BA.5 that is leading this new wave that they're seeing there. And we're concerned about this BA.4 and 0.5 here in the United States as well. And right now, in terms of what the World Health Organization is doing, we're looking at a brand new report that's going to be given to the World Health Assembly, which is next week, which unfortunately has made the clear assessment that the world, in terms of the entire planet, in terms of the tools that we have to prevent and control pandemics, we really have not improved significantly since December of 2019. And so there's going to be quite a lot of discussion about what can be done about that.
How can that be with the therapeutics and the booster and all of that? It seems like we've made progress.
Oh, yeah, Bob. So you're talking about this pandemic. They're talking about the next pandemic.
Oh, okay.
So you're absolutely right. We have a lot of things in place. In fact, there was a huge study, a U.S. study, on the actual impact of Omicron. And you know, there's been a lot of talk. Omicron is just milder, blah blah blah, but it isn't. It turns out that when they removed all the additional variables, like for example, vaccines, boosters, prior exposure, controlled for underlying conditions, all those details, in terms of what the viral potency is, it turns out that these Omicron subvariants were just as potent as the original strains, but they do seem less because we do have these things in place. And that's the way that, unfortunately, things have got to go. They've got to, because we acquire immunity, then the impact of this particular, SARS-CoV-2 becomes less. But that doesn't change that we need to do more in the future to be able to be, to not be taken the way we were taken by SARS-CoV-2 horrible germ.
I see. Let's talk about the vaccine from Pfizer for kids 5 to 11. The FDA permits a third dose of the shot at least 5 months after the second dose. And now the CDC will weigh in on this. And what's going to happen here? Are they just going to approve and we'll get to kids will have access to this now?
So the discussions on this were actually made when the original approval was given to go down to that age group. It was noted even originally because the dose was so low that it was quite likely that a third dose would be necessary. And so that's why the FDA didn't even convene the panel and went and moved forward, because the new data, another 400 children with no significant negative results. Of course, there's always the hurt shoulder and the little bit of fatigue and what have you for a couple of days, but no significant side effects. Absolutely got a huge increase value in terms of how the kids were doing, and that's really important. So yeah, I'm certain that the CDC will also approve it for the same kinds of reasons. I mean, children have seen, thank goodness, have had milder overall issues in terms of SARS-CoV-2, but with Omicron, we did see an increase in hospitalization of children, and then there is also this clear risk of longer-term effects with the children. So the idea of giving them a safe and effective vaccine and giving them this booster is absolutely spot on.
In April, ARP sent out some information regarding vaccines and boosters, AARP, and I think it confused more people than it illuminated because they quoted several medical experts and doctors who basically were saying if you're between the ages of 50 and 60 and don't have any underlying health conditions that put you at increased risk of severe COVID, then it is not as urgent for you to get the second booster right now. Do you agree with that?
So the problem is the data in that age range was not at the level where we would say, absolutely, go get it right now. It definitely does boost your immunity. But now so if a patient comes to me and says, well, should I get my booster now or should I wait a few months? I would ask that person, what are you doing now? What are your actions that put you at risk? What are the people around you doing that are putting you at increased risk? So if you basically, live out in the woods and you don't see people, mm-hmm. you don't need the booster, right? Mm-hmm. As long as they're, they don't have underlying health conditions right away. But if you're going on a trip, if the people around you are constantly exposed, you've got a lot of, teenagers running around the house that are not necessarily taking the precautions they should, then, go ahead and get the booster now. And so that's really the way to think about it, is what's your exposure risk? Or save it until you're going to go to that big wedding or you're going to go to that big event, and then make sure you take your booster dose just a little bit before that, at least a week or so before that.
Also in this AARP information that they sent out, they were saying that younger, healthier individuals in the eligible population can get the second booster if they want to, but it's not going to help you that much. It went on to say, while some protection afforded by the vaccines wanes, the primary series and first booster continue to hold incredibly well against severe disease and health in the less vulnerable population. Anything to add to that?
So again, even with the younger individuals, I really do base it on what is their risk profile based on what they do and where they are. The problem is this continues to be a virus that, especially, let's say we're talking about, say, a 20-year-old who had COVID back in 21 and has had two shots of vaccines. That person is probably pretty well protected against severe disease and unlikely to get so ill that they have a long problem. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that they won't get long COVID, and it doesn't mean that they won't have other problems in the future. We're not sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you've got something that's safe and efficacious and your lifestyle is such that you're likely to be exposed, go ahead and take the booster.
Got it. Dr. Eileen Marty, you'll let me know when to start worrying about the next pandemic, Dr. Marty?
Yeah, we'll have those discussions next week.
Yeah. All right. Have a good day.